If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with us to the book of Psalms, chapter 40. Psalms, chapter 40, we'll begin reading at verses 1, read the first five verses. I'm glad to be here. Brother Scott asked me, did it bother me to eat before I preached? I said, if I eat too much, it does. I try to be a man, put a knife to my throat, if I be a man given to appetite, but sometimes it don't work when you have food like I had tonight. Billy Kelly said one time, told others, he said, or Bobby Grubbs one, I forgot which it was, it's all I had to fix, some ladies went in together, was in a meeting, and loaded up their plates, and they was bigger than I was. They could naturally eat more than me, I guess, but I was doing pretty good. Brother Bobby Billy one said, I tell you, sister, bring me some more of that. That's musty. Musty? I just cooked it this morning. He said, it's good. I have to must have more of it. So just, I tell you, that's the way the Lord. We ought to get musty. Just want more and more, oughtn't we? I don't know anything any better. If you'd like to stand, you may. If you don't feel like it, it's all right. Psalms chapter 40, verse 1. I'm glad to be here. Thank God for the man of God you got, sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, wants to see the God have the way, his way and will in the service, and that's the only thing that matters. Like that sister I told you about, that I pastored at Bristol, it's in heaven now, said I like to be in the Father's house when the Father's at home, when he goes to manifest in his presence, when you get so that the singers can't sing and the preacher can't preach. And like one fellow said, you almost need a CNI dog to find the way to the altar, but that's a good way to get. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. A lot of times we get impatient. That's why we have so much trouble. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, doesn't it? He said, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the mire clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You know, there's people watching you and I. There's people that when a sinner gets saved, they watch out there to see if it's real, if it's genuine. I was given 2 weeks, a month, and maybe 3 months. It's been over 57 years, and it's better now than it was then. Amen. I'm saying, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And he said, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Isn't that wonderful? And respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies. Many, O Lord, my God, of thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Father, I thank you for the good singing. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege just to be in the house of God. I'm glad when they said unto me, let's go to God's house. Thank you for the good testimony, the brother telling about the goodness of God. And Lord, I thank you now for what you've done. Oh, Lord, for every saved person here, where you live, reached the way down, lifted them way up out of the horrible pit of sin, set their feet on the rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ, and put the song of salvation in their heart. I ask you now, Lord, to help me. Without you, I'd be a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Convict that one that's lost, that more they even get under conviction, so they'll just have to run to the preacher and say, I gotta get saved, I can't wait no longer. Bring that child of God that's wandered back from you, and we'll thank you, Lord, for what you're gonna do and will do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. I want you to notice that verse 5. It said, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order. And if I would declare or speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. There's one thing about it. When you think about the work of God, you know it doesn't ever cease. I know God finished his work. It is a finished work. as far as our salvation is concerned, when Jesus cried out in John 19:30, it is finished. It's done, remain done, and forever done. Christ has once offered to bear the sins of many, and only one time, and unto them that look for him shall he appear, the second time without sin unto salvation. But I've heard folks say, God done a work in my life, over and over again, and it is. It's God that worketh in us. I recall back years ago, before that, when they did cataract surgery, and it took a long time for a person, and they didn't hardly know or anything how to do it. This dear old saint of God, I went up there in the mountain. They said, go see him, one of the faithful mothers in the church. Love God, old time shouting mother. Well, I went up there and she had them thick glasses on, little thing on, a little at a time. And they didn't have that laser. And then they couldn't let no light in. A woman of stand, her and her husband. She said, you know, I want to go to church so bad. I listen on the radio, but it's not like being in the house of God. Said preacher, and another preacher's with me, showing me around while we was a visiting. And he said, one of you preach, said, I want to hear a sermon. And I said, Lord, there's a saint of God, looked like one of us would. She said, I always wanted to hear a preacher preach, and I never had on the 103rd Psalm. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's in me, bless his holy name. Well, when she said that, I tell you, somebody was in there besides us, and he moved in on the scene. I didn't speak on that. I read it, and I said, I wished I could preach from it. About that time, God gave me a verse of scripture. Man, I went to preaching. You say, why? There was just five of us there, but the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost was there, and brother, that made eight. And about that time, things started happening. And it was a cold December day, and it was up. It didn't get to the upper teens that day. This other preacher jumped up, and he preached about 15 minutes, and we had a time around that dear old saint of God. She said, you are my preacher. I've not seen you yet. And all of a sudden, she said, come here. And turn that light on. They said, Miss Calloway, you're not supposed to have it. She said, Ray, turn them Venetian blinds a little. And said, honey, come here. I walked over there and she took those hands. She rubbed my face. She said, I can't see it. But honey said, I believe God sent you by today. I was kindly down. And boy, I tell you now, we got outside and all of a sudden we'd had a time. I mean, we was a crying and a shouting around there. And this preacher with me, they had one of them weighted gates where they had a fence around. You ever seen that? You don't open it either way and it comes right back. And both of us got in the gate at the same time. We was kind of misty-eyed. And that preacher's there, and he said, hallelujah. I said, what in the world are you shouting about? Let's get out of this gate. He said, look up yonder. And there under the shrubbery, I didn't hear it because I was a little hard of hearing then. But there's some chickens, and one scratched and found something. Every one of them come running. And when it did, you know, and started talking about it, he raised his hand up while we were still in the gate. Said, glory to God, even the chickens is praising God. I'm going to tell you, God says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, 12, and chapter 2 and verse 12, he said, wherefore, my beloved, as you've not always obeyed, but in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And verse 13 said, it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. I'll tell you, God did a work of grace when he saved us, didn't he? Listen, he put a song in our heart and we could sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. God's people have been a singing people when God made everything that was made before sin ever come in the world. I'll tell you, the host of heaven, they sung and praised God in Job 38, 7, when God told Job to gird up your loin and answer me like a man if you've got understanding. Where was you at when I laid the foundation of the earth? Where was you at when I fashioned the chief cornerstone? Where was you at when I told the proud waves you'd come this far and no farther. And he said, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Let me tell you, you don't find any more about the choir of heaven sang it, because when sin come in the garden then, that killed us all. But thank God, when the Savior come, was born in this world, there was a messenger came first. And he said, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And suddenly there was a choir that had been rehearsing, thank God for this minute, when God was going to do his work again, as he had worked down through. But in the fullness of time of sending his son, there was a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and singing and giving glory to God. I want to tell you, when God does a work, you can't even begin the number. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, and when God put a 4.5 mile wide highway in the Red Sea, you say, preacher, how you know it's a 4.5 mile wide? They said it's 2.5 million folks that come over, and anyway, if it went single breast, it took them 35 days and nights to a breast, and it had to be 4.5 mile wide. They figured it out, and God dried the ground up the same time, and they went through the same night. Amen. And I tell you, they got on the other side, and God told them, you'll not see them anymore forever. The Egyptians come in. But what did it happen? Right then, God sent the angels down and took off their chariot wheels. You say it did? Yeah, they had to. Now, my uncle's a blacksmith, and I stayed around it some. He could make a wagon. I mean, he'd just fix that wagon, every bit of it, and he'd get the only thing that he had was a band iron and the iron he put around. Outside of that, he worked it with wood, and he'd paint that thing up, whatever they wanted, and it would stand the test. You say, what did he do? Well, I tell you, that nut on the wagon, and if you old enough, or a buggy, they didn't have a Carter key on then, and it went forward. And they was going forward with the chariot, and the nut saying had to be on there forward. So God, for the chariot wheel to come off, he sent an angel down, I believe, and just took the nuts loose. And then Moses left out the rod. And about that time, brother, the Egyptians run. And God's people started singing when they saw the deliverance of the Lord. They saw the many wonderful works of God that couldn't be reckoned. And they said, the horse and his rider, as he cast in the sea, the Lord is my strength, has become my salvation and my song. We need to tell about what God's done for. I like to hear somebody say of what God's done for him. You know something? I heard a preacher that's dead and in glory. He said this. He said, you know, one day another preacher told me about this. And he said, you know, said he'd go in when he'd be off the meeting, come back, hug his wife, say, honey, tell me how you got saved. And he said, she'd say, all right, I'll tell you. And finally, every time he'd come home, sometimes while he's there, say, honey, tell me how the Lord saved you. And she said, well, said, I tell you, don't you know but now? Said, I've told you over and over. He said, yeah, but I just like to hear what God done work on you. Thank God. That's what we ought to think about. What God done the work that cannot be numbered. Oh, listen, you say, what? Well, this work that he done speaks about when he delivered us from the sin. Isn't that wonderful that we've been saved by the grace of God? God delivered us, is delivering us, and praise God's going to yet deliver. As a brother said, you say it did. Yeah, he delivered us from the guilt of sin. I said guilty of sin, and you had. All of us had sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none of us righteous, no, not one. But I want to tell you, when we acknowledge our sin, like the prodigal Habakkuk did and the transgressions before him, and he ran to the Father right then and there. He got forgiven that when we plead guilty, when we acknowledge, when we ask for mercy instead of judgment, right then and there, thank God, the guilt rolled away. It tells me in Colossians chapter 1, he blotted out the handwritings of ordinance that was against us, which is contrary to us, took them out of the way, nailed them to the cross, blotted out, they're gone. And even God said, I'll forget them and remember them no more. Now, you know something the Lord don't know. You say, well, he knows everything. Yeah, but God says, I'll forget your sins. Why you want to keep bragging them up? That's nothing to be proud of. But there's something to be thankful for, because you're no longer guilty. He delivered you. I like that old song, God delivered again, just when things seems hopeless. God delivered again. Not only, thank God, from the guilt, but sin had a grip on us. It certainly did. I talked to a man, and that man said to me, he said, preacher, God dealing with him, he said, it feels like as if Satan's got a grip on my soul. I can't get it. Said, it's claws on my soul. I've never heard that expression. You say, what did God do? Well, I tell you, thank God, God loosened the grip.
Sure. Oh, yes,
I remember my dad used to keep, when we raised, there's a lot of hawks, raised chickens, that hen, and I'd always pray. Even at a boy, you'd say, what'd you pray for? When those hen was sitting on a dozen eggs, I'd pray at least it'd have two roosters. You say, well, that's the only time we ever got into fried chicken. I was a boy, and I liked that fried chicken gravy. You say, well, that's foolish. Well, I tell you, it's all right. I get some gravy every once in a while. Amen. You have not because you ask not. But anyway, you know, Dad keep a shotgun loaded. And I give that gun to my dad, give it to me. I gave it to my oldest son. He's got it in a safe. One he bought from Sears and Roebuck the same time he bought a bicycle. When he was working up there at the brickyard at Hammond, Indiana, ride the bicycle to work, hunt them prairie chicken out there to have food. Time was rough. But anyway, that shotgun, he'd have it loaded. And when them little bitties, that mother hen, they'd be out there, several of them, a hawk could come over. She'd give a sound. Boy, that gun was always close by. And I remember one day that hawk come in low down and fell, and it reached and got one, you know, it's about the size of a pattern. And just as it started up, Dad, he shot in front of that, and that hawk hit the ground. That weedy come down, it just had a broke wing, that's all it had. Well, I'm gonna tell you right now, you say, what happened? That hawk loosed a grip on that little chicken. You say, what did it do? Thank God they went and took something, bound up a wing of it. That old mother hen cut, and it went right on like nothing ever happened. Why? They've been delivered from the grip of death, and that's what you and I were. He said, son, if it had got up higher, it'd have killed it. You think about it. The work of God speaks about he delivered. He's delivered us time and time and time again. There's no temptation taking you but such as coming unto man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you and I to be tempted above that we're able to bear. But we'll wake up with the temptation, make a way of escape. It's a work of God that continually works in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. What a Savior we got. Took me a long time. I was preaching 14 years before I ever saw one little word in 1 Peter 5:8. Boy, I could quote 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. It does. And then he said, therefore, resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. But there in Satan, he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. You say, what preacher did you miss? Well, I'd been fighting a battle. for about 6 months or something. I'd preach in a revival meeting that night at Hillsborough, North Carolina. Holy Ghost of God moved in. I mean, we'd had people saved. There's the saints of God shouting something they'd been praying for a year. You know, one of them times when you just can't explain it. Man, I tell you, and I got in the car and it was foggy and misty. I started up Interstate 85. Man, 45 miles an hour is about all you could go. And I finally got in between two tractor trailers because I didn't feel like as safe as some fool liable to come around making 65 when you couldn't see from here to the back of the church. And then they might be singing "Near My God to Thee," and they might notify my wife she is a widow. And I didn't want that. But anyway, I got in there. And all of a sudden, you know something, I said, "Lord, when is this? I know you're going to give victory, but when, how long, oh Lord?" And you say, "What, preacher?" Well, you know something, I said, "Lord, I'm casting all my care on you. You care for me, but it seemed like I come back to this and the problem." And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God said, "You missed something." He said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour." And he said, "He's a counterfeit. He's an has-been."
Yeah, yeah.
When I saw that ass, he's an imitator. You say, "What'd you do?" Yeah. Thank God. I said, "Lord, give me victory." He said, "You already got it. Thanks be unto God that giveth us a victory through the Lord Jesus Christ." And I pulled out at Hall River at that truck stop and went up there. I had to get off the interstate because, thank God, I was dangerous the way I was feeling right then. You say, "What'd you do?" I didn't need any gas, but I got out of the car and I had them that tape in there and they're playing, "There's nothing like sweet communion with Jesus. There's nothing like sweet communion with Him." I was crying in a minute. I got my cup run over and I'm going to tell you right now, I said, "Hallelujah, glory to God. Thank you, Lord."
Amen.
I heard some truckers up there saying, "Man," said, "There's something wrong with him," and there wasn't nothing wrong with me. His things had just got right. I tell you, God delivered me from that grip. He showed me that the devil was putting out here where I see it under every bush, that he's a defeated foe.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes.
Yes. "Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works that thou hast done and thy thoughts towards us." Well, you think about it. He thinks God hadn't forgot us. You think God forgot you? No, he hadn't forgot you. You got some sin in your life as a believing child of God, you'll think he has, but I'll tell you, as soon as you'll acknowledge, you'll find out he is there all the time. He just withdrawed and you wanted to get you to the place where you could praise God again and live for him like you ought to. "Never happened and done, and thy thoughts, they cannot be reckoned." That's an accountant number, that word "reckon." It is. Now, I can bounce a checkbook. The government can't stay in its means, though, can they? States out here and others spending. They say spent like a drunken sailor. I don't know about that. When a drunken sailor spent all he had, he couldn't spend no more. That's not the way it's our government, so. You say you went off. I know I run a rabbit then, but it don't hurt to shoot one of them once in a while. That reckon, you say something, yeah. What does God's word say in Romans 6:6? "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified to him all the time, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we are not the servants of sin, but we're servants of Christ." And then verses 11 of Romans 6 says, "Likewise reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." He give us life. It's in him. We live, we move, and we'll have our being. John 15:5 said, "Without me, you can do nothing." A fellow at New Greek when I was in Bible school brought that up. He said, "What is it?" Some of them said, "It's zero." Had a board then, didn't have these things that they run up now, PowerPoint or whatever they call them, I don't know. I'm so countrified, I can't keep up that because I'm going to heaven. I'm a country boy going to a big city, though, and I'll know then as I'm known. It's all right. But that fella, he limped. And he said, "Well," said, "you put a one, there's zero, it's 10. You put another zero, and it's 100. You put three, and it's 1,000. Well, he had us all, none of us didn't know. We was green. I'm still green, but thank God I'm not dead. Anyway, you'll get that in a minute. But anyway, he done everything and he put a zero. He said, you know what the real mean? I don't know what that means, that or not. I never have bothered to look it up, what nothing means. But he put a zero and he took eraser chalk on that chalkboard and erased it out. He said, I want to tell you, whatever one of us are without Jesus, we are zero erased out.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you, I don't know what that is, Greek or not, but it sure was good. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. That work of God speaks about his deliverance, that he delivered us from the guilt. No longer. I signed the Bible, I signed it Romans 8:1. Because, listen, first verse of scripture I memorized is Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I'd started a new walk about 24 hours before. That makes a difference. And not only that, that work of God speaks about that he tells us the direction we're supposed to take.
Sure.
We've got someone, as a little I've seen this year thing guidepost put out, but I'd rather have this guide than anything I know of. He tells us this is the way, walk in it. He tells us to walk in the Spirit, will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God's word said, the Lord inclined to us and heard a cry, brought us up out of a horrible pit, out of the mire clay, set our feet upon a rock and established our going. Brought it out of the clay, up there next to where I live, it used to be an area clay bank. And when it come, a state come along, they'd get that clay out. And us boys, we didn't have marbles a lot of time, but we'd get that clay. Man, I mean, it's just as white as it could be. You could get that clay and make marbles a different size, and then, they'd get up there if you got barefooted and start stomping in it like at your feet would sing. You got up about ankle deep in that stuff, and man, if they want somebody there to help you, someone to go off, you're just about stuck. It'll just hang on to you.
Yeah.
I thought about when I read the mire clay.
Right.
One time one person got in there, and they got over their ankles in it, and they said, I'm stuck on. Rest of us made out like we was going to leave him there. Little boys mean, aren't they? Big boys, and I've met a few of them, big girls and little girls too. But anyway, he said, I'm stuck. Help me. He is leathering the rest. He's about to start to cry. We went over there and hit him in that clay print in just a minute where his feet is at that clay come over.
Yeah.
Now, when it got dry, where the water was, it'd get hard.
Right.
But that's, you know something, he brought you out up of the mire clay,
oh,
set your feet on a solid rock,
oh, yeah,
established you going, put a song in your heart, showed you the direction to walk, and established you going. So he said, this is the way to walk.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I made a promise one Saturday night, they had a fourth Saturday night service. I was still working a job, I worked second shift. Got up the next day, we had worked on the farm. I told my wife, I said, I promised to go to church. She said, honey, you worked all week. You've been going at the other. Said, I tell you, said, you're not a member there. I said, yeah, but I promised her, brother, I'm gonna try to go. I tell you what, I was like one fella said about when he got up in the big city, he'd never been before, and he went down the wrong street where the roughnecks was at. They hollered at him, just come here, come here. And he said, I turned and I started walking away right slow. Said, I heard them the steps echoing in the building. He said, I broke in a trot. And they hollered, wait, we want to talk to you. Said, I knew they'd rob me or kill me. And then said, I broke in a run. Said, they did. And said, between them tall buildings, them footsteps was echoing. And he said, I tell you, he said, you got to put some feet on your prayer. And when he told that, he said, I'm going to tell you, you got to put some feet on your prayer. And he said, while did I run, I prayed under my breath. I prayed, Lord, you pick them up faster than they can set them down. I'll get away from here. Bless God, that's a good way to do. I went up and asked him, I said, did that happen to you? He said, yeah, I'm still a little bit scared. I said, where's it at? He said, New York City. I said, I don't blame you. Anyway, but it's got about as dangerous around here as it is anywhere else. But he got a life of direction, a way to walk in it. And that night, I had no more than got out of my pickup, walked down there, drove it. I run on to a dear old brother. He had got saved in his 60s, and he wasn't wasting any time. He was telling everybody, seeing he had the touch of God all over him. I mean, when he couldn't sing a carry tune, he's kind of like me. But when he talked about the Lord, it just something about it just melts your heart. I went up and he hadn't said a thing. I was so tired. I was like that preacher, Lord, you pick him up and I set him down. I was tired. He got me by the hand, put his hand on my shoulder, said, God bless you, brother. I don't know what happened, but thank God that rolled away. We got in there in church and they sung the first song. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And it started on the second verse, a dying thief rejoiced to see. And I'm going to tell you, it got some misty in there. Looked like everybody was weeping. The Holy Ghost moved in, hovered over that service. Thank God these folks started testifying. They started going to altar. Them some, two or two, had had short words with one another looking cross-eyed. And well, should something bad had happened to them, went to one another. And it never did. You know what? The preacher didn't preach and it didn't sing no more. Just sip that song. You say, what? God's got a direction when he works. Sure. He knows what to do. What did he do? The Holy Ghost of God, all that tiredness rolled away. Right. I got home late. It's 15 after 9. My wife said, what happened? I said, I just can't exactly tell you. But these things I started telling you, she said, are you tired? I said, no, not a bit.
Yeah, Doc.
No, it tells a direction. Tells you, not only that, the progress that you make. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever, amen. When he saved you, not only the work did he deliver you, but he put you on the right direction. And he goes before you and tells you the way to go.
Yes.
We was in spirit revival. I didn't think about it. But anyway, I was going to baptize 40-some that Sunday. I mean, God moved in. We was having folks saved every service. You couldn't explain it. I mean, there's no way to explain God. You just go along and enjoy the benefits and the blessings of it.
Sure.
But you know something? I was a preaching that Sunday morning, and I said, we Baptist preachers make a mistake when we baptize them. I said, they always wanted to go in the river. We didn't have a baptistry and baptize the river. And I said, well, having to leave your pocketbook. Every man ought to leave your pocketbook or wallet in the pocket and get it baptized in the name of the Father and the Holy Ghost and get it converted. And then I said, the women ought to get that little purse to carry their money in and carry it in and put the Kleenex or whatever over it and baptize it. Well, I didn't know two or three of them fellas had just been saved. They took that literally. They done it. And it's amazing what God will do. The next day was hot. On Monday, this fellow was a mechanic. He stopped over there at the store, and there where a man's lost without God, went to church once in a while. He went in there, you know, and paid, and them bills was wet from the day before he'd got. I didn't know nothing about it. And then that fellow said, well, Jesse, what in the world? You must have sweated a lot today. He said, no. He said, well, how come that pocketbook's wet? And said, them bills, he said, I got saved. And said the preacher said we ought to get our pocketbook converted too, and I want the will of God, so I just went in the water with it. He said, I tell you, said it sure is good. You ought to try it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
I said, what did that fella say? Said he shook his head like there's something wrong with it, but Jesse's crying, tears coming down. He said, I got blessed.
Amen.
He'll show you. God's got a way of witnessing, baptizing a pocketbook. Hallelujah. God's chosen the foolish things, base things, things that are despised, and things that are not at no flesh of glory in his presence. Let him that glory, glorieth in the Lord. Nothing better than that. And then, not only that, a devotion is what it was. In verse 17, the last verse, I'm poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. make no turn. Oh, my God, when I need help. You know, God always arrives on time.
Amen.
He always does. He guides a direction. I left a church in Greensboro. I never thought I'd pastor again. My beloved wife was in the hospital, and I'd give a resignation. Supposed to get out of the parsonage at a time. I'd had a place up there and had a little bit of money, enough for a down payment on it where I'd sold the house. And anyway, I started to see her in the hospital that Sunday evening after I'd had lunch. And the Holy Ghost said, go around another way. I said, Lord, is there a wreck or something? I can't get there. Cross the interstate, the opposite side, go on. But I went. Obedience better than sacrifice.
Sure.
Finally, I said, Lord, I was praying about a place and what to do and which way to turn. You got a lot of decisions to make. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He giveth all men liberty and upbraideth not, and shall be given to him.
Yeah.
Prodigal found a way back home, didn't he?
Yes, sir, Don. Yeah.
Got direction.
Yeah,
then you said, is he devoted? I said, yep. Right then and there, and all of a sudden the Lord standing there was a Mowbray trail. Holy Ghost, turn up that. I looked there at the house, and somehow or another that didn't. I told my nephew about it. He worked for the airline. He bought it, him and his wife. Went on up, and there's something else. We needed a little bit more bedroom space than what they did. Some of our children are still with us. I went on up there towards the end. There's a house for sale. I found out about it. Had a man that's building a church I pastored, had Piedmont Homes. He looked at it, and I felt like that was it. You say, how you know? God don't lead in something like that. Well, I think he does.
Sure.
In fact, when I took another church, I sold it. It liked some work on the inside, some painting it done. I asked a man to take it off and do that, and a friend hit me. Turned around then, and God just worked it. Don't tell me you're devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ before he won't do something for you.
Amen.
He'll give you the sense of direction. He'll guide you. He'll establish your goings. You're devoted. And I tell you, then I went to Bristol. I preached a meeting, closed it out on Saturday night, went to Bristol to preach on Sunday. I'd been there and rode that house. It's handy. Airlines everywhere where I fly to go in a meeting. I wound up thinking I'd never take another church and stayed in Bristol 23 and a half years. You say you did? Oh, yes. I've been on the road for the last 15 years, there for a while, and then back there in the first part of my early ministry. I want to tell you, when you stay devoted to him and ask the direction of him, when you've been delivered by him, you can say many are the wonderful works. Lord, they just can't be reckoned about it. They just can't be reckoned about it. My youngest son, my wife was worrying we was about it. Thing that's happened in his life, and seemed like he just going away, couldn't get him to church. He is already too old for that. I got an answer one day. I told my wife, she said, Rayton, what about Steve? I said, he's gonna be all right. I done got the answer. She said, but when? I said, I don't know. But I said, when God gets him the right place, he'll get there.
Sure. Yes, sir.
Well, we went out to eat that Sunday. I was in Bristol. It transferred him to Greensboro, North Carolina, his company had. From where he'd been up there, he got a promotion. And so we got home, pushed the lightest blanket. Our son's voice was on there, Mom and Daddy. I just wanted to call and tell you, I'll call you after a while. We're going to take a nap now. Had a little boy. And you know, it makes a difference a lot of times. Children come along, you've been brought up right. You got a baby. About 4 o'clock that evening, the way he said on that, my wife started crying. She said, Steve got saved. I said, he's right now.
Yeah, Doc.
You say it did, yeah. He had heard some of the best preachers in the country. And he's got a preacher boy preaching down, Steve Smith, down there at Oak View Baptist Church. He comes down the line, People say it's too strong, too hard, but thank God he's got a great church that's going for the Lord and standing for the old passion, goes by with it. When I called him that evening, he got, Mama got on one phone and I got on the other. He got to tell him and said, Daddy, I'm sorry, Mama. I know you prayed for him and I caused you a lot of heartache. And you say it had. He caused me a whole lot of concern. My heart of wanting to do it. Jacob said, you grieve me, my children, I'm grieved. But thank God your Heavenly Father tells you something's going to be all right. Just hang on to it because it's a-coming. Didn't know that was 15 years ago that they was going to honor me at 40 years. They'd kept it, and my wife, it caused her diverticulitis to get upset, keep it hiding from me if a call would come, someone hiding it. I knew nothing about it. And I didn't know my son was going to get to come. My youngest grandson, Danny's had another boy since, and I preached for a while. I named him Luke. Only Luke's with me. But anyway, the rest of my grandchildren had grown up. But that night, they come up there. They got there, my people, I knew nothing about it. All my relatives, my children, and my son, he got up there, weak old, my Lord. He had been in church. He'd even went out on visitation. He had passed out tracts. He wasn't saved. You know, you didn't act like it, not have it.
Listen.
You go through the ritual and not have the reality. He'd want to go on visitation when he wanted to go to sleep sometime talking to somebody, go with his daddy. I couldn't get him to give a tract, and he said, will you take one? They'd take one from a little boy, 5 years old or something, or six. They wouldn't for me. But anyway, that night, and he testified, my grandson Luke come to me. He's fascinated. I was the only one white haired in a bunch. My church folks got a big kick out of that. They got it on video. And I was leaving. I hadn't told them that. I was leaving right after that, turning in a resignation. You were going back on the road again. My son, he looked, he said, I put some gray hair in my daddy's head, no doubt worrying about it. But said, my daddy always knew that he loved me. I knew when I'd call, he'd get help. Boy, I hugged him. I said, son, that's just like our Heavenly Father. He's always there to help. About that time, Luke, he rubbed his fingers through my hair. They got it on video. Some of them said nobody but him could get by with it. And that was about the truth. It wasn't already messed up. And I'd have much, but I don't have messed up. You say, what will it do? The Lord will give you a direction not only for you, not only devotion, but my son Ben, he won a pro doctor table on every once in a while. Pro doctor. You say, what? Make any difference. He'll give you the direction you're supposed to go. You stay devoted to him. That's all that matters anyway. Be followers of God as dear children. I tell you, sometimes you may have valleys. Sometimes you may have storms. Sometimes there'll be contrary winds. But you just follow on. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. That's when I... got discouraged when I'd say, what's the use? Seemed like everything be going wrong. But a lot of times God was just doing that to let me be tested so the next trial that come, it might be stronger that I could look back and say, he's brought me through that. And I'll say, I love you, Lord, because whatever lack that Abraham prayed, shall not the judge of all the earth do right. God's still in control. He works the works. They can't be reckoned. You just can't figure them out. There's more than can be numbered. Can you visualize? We that are wearing glasses have to wear hearing aids. Steps are getting a little falter. That we're going to have a glorified body when he does the work. My wife has breathing problems. She'd been not knowing till last year, having to go on oxygen now. Other things about it, a glorified body. He's going to finish it and we're going to be like him. Can you reckon that? Can you count that? Can you look at it? Of how that he just sometimes, without any reason, you just not place. One preacher called and asked me, one back yonder last year, said, "Brother Rayton, you need anything, you tell me." I said, "Brother, I love you. But if I was, I wouldn't tell you." He said, "I'm your friend." I said, "Yeah, but I'll tell the Lord, and then if he wants you to help me, would." You say you're stubborn. No, I'm not. I just found out. God's our refuge and help. Very present help in time of trouble. No matter what may come, he lifted you out.
Yes.
He done a work out of the horrible pit, the pit of noise, the miry clay.
Amen.
Set you on the rock of ages, the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And if you want to look over, and I believe it is Exodus 32, when Moses wanted to see God's glory, he said, "You can't see it, but I'll put you in the cleft of my rock and hand over you to see the backside, and that'll be enough for you." You say, "Why did he let him see the backside? He wants us to follow, not run ahead."
Right, Doc.
Your devotion, he don't ever fail. He never will fail. He'll keep on working. If it's God that worketh in you, he'll do it. If you're lost, he'll save you. You're a child of God going through a storm, he'll bring you through it. You right now, discouragement, whatever it may be a loss of job, maybe only part-time with others. God somehow will take care of us in spite of everything that comes up, because he's the Lord. His works are more than can be reckoned.
Yes.
You just sit down and go to life, setting them down. That's what I just looked at, one or two of these things. I was going to preach on something else. They started saying, but that Lord said, "Switch me here apart." I pray right now that we'd behold the wonderful works of God. When we go out of this building tonight, there wants to be clouds, there wants to be lightning, there wants to be wind, or the stars shining bright in all their glory. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth forth his handiwork. When we consider, Lord, these things, what is man that thou art mindful of? Lord, that you cared for us, we that were rebels, we that were rejecters, we that went astray, we that turned our back on the one that give us life, we live and move and have our being. Dear Lord, I can't figure it out why you loved us, but I sure am thankful. I want to praise you, Lord. Your works that you've done, the works you're doing, and the works you're going to do. And I pray you'd do a work here in this community, at this church. Lord, they got the Sega, they got the Spirit, they got the man of God. I pray that Christ will continue to be lifted up, like he said in John 12, and I'll draw all men to me. There's a magnetism about you. When folks get the wit's end corner, there's no place to turn except you. And then, Lord, if they've heard and they know that there could be a refuge, they know that they could hear the message of help and hope here from this pulpit. They know that, Lord, there's people that cares for souls. And I pray, Lord, right now, if we're saying, maybe somebody needs to come as our brother, get down and think about, Lord, the work you've done for them. They might have been years down as they think back upon them. And Lord, sometimes we're prone to forget. But like the Word of God says, "I'd fainted unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." What all the works you reckon, Lord, they're more than can be reckoned. Lord, the guilt that you brought us from, the grip of sin we was in, couldn't deliver ourselves, and you did it. And then the devotion, Lord, you said to follow you. I pray that right now some, Lord, that's fallen afar off will come back. Lord God, as he leads us in a burst of singing right now,